So tonight, we're going to be talking about appropriating blessings. So I choose Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now that is translated in many different ways, in many different versions. But when we say the Lord maketh rich, he's not altogether talking about putting money in your pocket, but does not exclude that either. That God wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be successful. So tonight, we're going to speak on appropriating blessings. You may be seated. You look in the dictionary, the word appropriate, appropriate, is also pronounced appropriate. Now, when it's appropriate, it's used as an adjective. Simply means proper or suitable. Like he has the appropriate clothing for the occasion. Proper clothing. Maybe this is a good time to talk about this. We started having casual night on Wednesday night because of the classes. And I ask everybody to make sure that you dress in business or corporate casual. And don't look like that you're ready to go out and slop the hogs. And some of you, you would have to dress up a little bit if you went on a picnic. I really don't understand why some of you want to come in here dressing as sloppily as you possibly can. But maybe I'm misinterpreting that. Maybe that's the way you would dress if you were a teller at a bank or maybe a president of a corporation. So I'm just serving notice now. Listen to me. If we don't start dressing a little bit better, we're going to stop the casual on Wednesday night and we're going to go back to shirt and ties for the guys. And, the girls all promised in the choir we won't wear skirts that are frayed on the ends, and the guys no jeans that are frayed on the ends. And I've seen some of that. Some of you are checking your clothing now. So I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I think that, for the most part, it's just human nature. We just have a propensity for weaknesses and for laziness and sloppiness. One reason why that homeschooling doesn't work for a lot of families. Now, homeschooling is certainly a very vital thing, and several of you homeschool, and this is not to talk against you unless you're guilty of this, and certainly if you're guilty of it, then listen up. But kids get up in the morning. I've heard these reports from some of the homeschoolers. They don't comb their hair and get dressed until noon. They're laying across the bed doing their homework, or doing work, rather. And that's just not good training for kids. It's not good training for kids. And I just feel that, if you're doing homeschooling, the kids should get up at a certain time, should say their prayers, eat their breakfast, get dressed, and sit down at an appropriate place and do their schooling under supervision. So I started talking about appropriate instead of appropriate. But to appropriate something, it simply means that we seize it, we apprehend it, we claim it, we take possession of it. Now, how many of you tonight, you need a blessing, just a blessing, maybe in different areas, financial or whatever, you just need a blessing, just I think we could all raise our hands, couldn't we? We could all raise our hands. God has really blessed us here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I just really thank the Lord for the sacrifice of all of you people in giving. Two kinds of people in the world, the givers and the takers. And you'll find that if you are a giver, God will always supply your needs. If you're a taker, you'll just always be taking. Always. And while I don't mention anything like this very often, but I think it'd be all right, Brother Putnam, if I say this, you know, we get a list of all of the churches and their giving. And Calvary Gospel Church has been up close to the top in giving in our district for many, many years. And even when we went through some very lean years, that was the case. But I have noticed that it's real easy for churches to go through a little bit of a drought and they just back off of giving to everything. And you know what happens? They start this downward spiral. And after a while, they said, well, we didn't have any money to give. And because we'll be talking about those principles a little bit later on. I'm jumping from an introduction into the meat of this lesson. But, you know, if you learn to be a giver, if your heart is in the right place relative to earthly goods, a man's life consists of more than the abundance of the things that he possesses. And I've seen in this church and other churches that I have been associated with that the people who honor God by giving regularly, they just keep being blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. Now, I will say this, that you may give and you may always need something, and maybe your need is never supplied, but God never promised that he would, if you exercise poor stewardship and you don't manage your money correctly, he never promised that he'd just keep piling it on and piling it on and exceeding your inability to discipline yourself. He never promised that. See, in the first principle of money management is you tell your money where to go, not try to figure out where it went. You know, and most people, they sit down. In fact, I just heard this past week, said, I don't even know who said this. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But said, you know, I had more week than I had money. In other words, I ran out of money before the week was over. And they said it in joking, so please, I'm not throwing any stones at whoever said that because I can't remember now who said that, but somebody came to me and said that. But, you know, we all need to take note of this because we are stewards and God has put his kingdom into our hands. That's what we were talking about last Sunday morning and Sunday night. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray about this, and I just almost get cold chills when I think about myself and how risky it appears that to me that God would take his kingdom and put it in my hands. Sounds like pretty risky business. You know, when you think about it, you know. And, you know, I want to be a good steward. You know, how did we become stewards? Well, when we were born again, we turned our life over to him. Now, you've heard me make these statements many, many times, but I need to do this for foundation purposes. All that you are and all that you have, you actually turned over to the Lord. See, repentance is more than just asking God to forgive you. Repentance is also submission. And that is, When you bend your knees and you confess that he's Lord, you actually turn over everything. See, Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. So there is a reasoning process that you go through. You know, we sing the chorus, and I used to hear it all the time in altar calls, just as I am. And people would come and give their heart, come give your heart to God just as you are. Well, that is true. But when you come, you know, you don't have much to give him when your life is a mess. And most people, quite frankly, don't really surrender their heart to God until they have made a mess of things. And God is saying, well, just turn your life over to me. Let me run your life for a while. Let me be the boss of your life. So give it all to me. Now, what happens is we turn all of our stuff over to him. I mean, everything we have, we turn it over to the Lord. The reason why that some people fight holiness standards, and when I say holiness standards, I'm talking about not just clothing, but everything from television programming, videos, the internet, pornography, whatever it is the fact that they don't turn it over to the Lord. Because if you turn it over to the Lord, in other words, if you broke ties with it, then you're not going to fight so hard to keep it. See? And there is such a thing, though, as turning it over to the Lord, opening your hand and letting it go, and then later on going back in and seizing it. See, that was the problem with the prodigal son. The prodigal son, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. In other words, I turn some things over to you, Lord, but now I want them back. And you see, a prodigal is a person who manages his life or her life separate and apart from the divine instructions that come from God. I've heard people say over the years, when it comes to money, no preacher's going to tell me how to spend my money. Well, first place, I would not want to tell you how to spend your money. If I'm going to tell you anything, I'm going to tell you how to save your money. But nevertheless, you've got to understand that really it isn't your money. It's God's money. And if we want God to bless us, if we turn everything over to him and we want him to bless us, then we're going to have to cooperate with him. We have to understand that we're stewards, we're managers of this, but he is the CEO of our life. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8:18 that God gives us the ability to get wealth. Now, that simply means that once you turn your whole life over to him, that is your car, your home, the birth certificates of your children, your marriage license, turn it all over to the Lord. It all belongs to him. Here it is. Now, the Lord will say, now you can manage certain things there. If you have things that don't bring glory, or they're not complementary to Christ and his cause, then naturally those things need to be destroyed. You only manage the things that bring glory to his kingdom. And if you go out and pick up some stuff along the way that doesn't bring glory to his kingdom, you need to get rid of those things. Anything that you're doing, if you have problems with the internet by watching inappropriate things, you know the best thing you need to do? Is wean yourself from the internet and disconnect it if you can't control it. See, it would be better to go into heaven without a laptop than to go into hell with a whole bunch of them. Now, that's just my paraphrase that, you know. You understand what I'm talking about? See? So, he gives us the ability to get wealth. But because he's the CEO of my life, I must know and or I must constantly be aware that the home I live in is not my home. It belongs to Jesus. The car I drive is not my car. It belongs to Jesus. Everything that I have belongs to the Lord. My children, they're souls that belong to God. They don't belong to John Grant. See? You with little ones, you need to keep that in mind. So it's all right then to live in homes, and it's all right to owe a mortgage. You might say, well, I owe on it. But see, don't let, it's all right to own homes, but don't let homes own you. See, that's the problem. Now, we're talking about appropriating blessings now. Because trust me, God will invest where he gets the most cooperation. See, if you were the CEO of several, let's say, chain restaurants throughout, let's say, the Midwest, if you had one that's going bankrupt, not making any money, no profit, and Jesus gave parables. Luke 16, the parable of Luke 16. There's parables throughout the scripture. Jesus talked about money in parables more than he talked about anything else. But in Luke 16, he says, if you know not how to handle the unrighteous mammon, talking about money, why do you think God would turn over to you the true riches of glory? In other words, with the spiritual things. You can't handle unrighteous things. Well, what makes you think he's going to turn over to you spiritual things? Now, you may say, but Brother Grant, I've been doing well. I got a very fat savings account, and so I'm doing well. And I'm not talking about staying poor all the time. I'm also talking about people who have it, and they could give it, but they don't. So, the CEO that is wanting to make additional investments, he's not going to invest in a restaurant that's going bankrupt. He's going to invest more where he gets the most cooperation. So, I see this in people's lives all the time, that people who are constantly giving, they're constantly being blessed. And I've had people come along and say, oh, I wish I could give. If I had his money, I'd give like he does. But maybe it didn't start out with a lot of money. Maybe it started out with him just giving and then God blessing him. After a while, he continued to give. Maybe he gives the large sums that he gives now simply because that he or she, because they have been cooperating with the Lord more. Now, you got to keep in mind one thing, okay? That stewardship was not designed by God to keep you poor. It was not designed by God to make you wealthy. Stewardship was designed by God to take all of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches off of your shoulder, place it in the hands of God, trust in him, not always be frustrated with money. I think more marriages are torn apart because of money or a lack of it. See, the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. So, whenever I fully acknowledge that the Lord owns everything that I have, when my car breaks down, then it's easier for me to believe that God is going to fix his car. it's easier for me to believe that God's going to fix his roof. But you see, if I'm occupying the house and I'm not cooperating with him, then he may say, well, there's no need to fixing that roof. Because he doesn't cooperate with me. I'm not investing any more money in that household. He can just find his own way. When you stop practicing good stewardship, you know what you do? You cut off the hand that feeds you. Now, he gives us power to get wealth, according to Deuteronomy 8:18. But we also must understand that when we gave our heart to God, according to Luke 14:33, and listen to this, okay? Let's turn there, Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot, C-A-N-N-O-T, be my disciple. Now, what you need to do, you need to go look up in the dictionary the word cannot and see if it contains any loopholes. The word cannot simply means cannot. Now, he prefaced that in verse 25 through 27. Now, look at this one. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, all right, if any man come after me, in other words, if you want to be a follower of Christ, see, there was a great multitude following, and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, hate there doesn't mean hate like we interpret the emotion hate to be. But it simply means that we love less than we love God. So what is your first love? Is your first love your home? Is your first love your wife, your children? Your house, your job? Is that what your life is all about? Or is it about the work of God? See, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, now the Gentiles, this is the way they run their life. They're always worried about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat. What do they look like? I'd like to be another foot taller. I really think I'd be well off if I was another foot tall. Because I read recently in I think it's Reader's Digest, they said that your waist should never be more than one half, never be more than one half of your height. Can you believe that? Now, I'm supposed to be 8 feet tall. So I think I got shortchanged here, you know. But the Gentiles are worried about all these things. And what Jesus is saying, now look, I want you to stop worrying about all this stuff, okay? Because you've got the kingdom of God that's been placed in your hands. Now, because the kingdom of God's placed in your hands, you don't have time to worry about all this. If anybody loses sleep, let it be me. That's what he's saying. He said, so take no thought for tomorrow. Don't be worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and all of this. Now, that doesn't mean if it's Thanksgiving time that you don't put together a grocery list and go buy groceries. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the cure for anxiety. See? And then he nailed it down when he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that great? See, so practicing good stewardship was designed to take the worry off of you, put it square in the hands of God, and you go on your business of doing the Lord's work and let him take care of it. See? So you must hate your father and your mother. And then in verse 27 then, I don't think we got there. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot. There's that word cannot again. No loopholes. Cannot be my disciple. I hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'd do this and I'd do that. If, and you're always stacking up things, making excuses for yourself. I've heard people say, I'd pay my tithing if I made more money. Well, you may never make more money. I've heard others say, but I've got bills to pay. You know what I always ask? I've never had anybody tell me otherwise. I said, so if you had enough money to pay your tithe, and after you paid your bills, you'd pay it. Let me ask you this. Do you pay your bills regularly and on time? Never yet have I had anybody say, yes, I always pay all of them on time, and there's not enough left over for God. You know what they always say? Oh, no, I'm struggling with them. Well, I'm 2 or 3 months behind. Well, listen, if you're not going to be able to pay your bills, well, then why worry about it? Why don't you just step out by faith and pay your tithing first? Because, you see, when you pay your tithing, the tithing belongs to the Lord, according to Scripture. Now, I could give a whole seminar on this, but, you know, the tithing belongs to the Lord. And if you give the tithe, which is the first fruits of your increase, if you give your tithing first, then 90% that's left for you has more purchasing power than 100% without the blessings of God. It just works that way. Say, I can't figure that out. Neither can I, because I can't figure God out. But I do know that it works. So here's something I want you to consider. John 8:32. Okay, let's look at this scripture. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, most people think that's talking about just God coming down, taking the guilt of sin, filling you with the Holy Ghost, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now I'm free. But it's not just talking about that. It simply means that when you go through the new birth process, that is, you repent, you're baptized in Jesus' name, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you come out a child of his king, a child of the king, and it simply means that you are unshackled from the cares of this life, from riches, from worry, anxiety, everything. You just got to trust God. You just got to believe in God. And I got to tell you, there have been times in which God's prompted me to give a certain amount, and I'd sit there and argue momentarily with God. But you see, here's the thing about your pastor. You see, I know too much about the Word of God to make many, I wouldn't say mistakes, but to make many excuses. It's easy to make excuse. It's just simply easy. I said, Lord, I just know too much about the Bible. I can't be doing this. And there have been times when I just say, now, Lord, I don't know how this is going to. Okay, here it is. God loves a cheerful giver. Might as well be happy about it. Now, there are three reasons why we give. The first reason is we give to meet a need. If you see a brother or sister that's in need, you give to meet that need. Or let's say someone that's not in the church, you give to meet that need. I made a mistake at conference. There was a homeless guy on the street, and he came up to me and told me he was living under a bridge, and under a freeway bridge, and I had money in my pocket, but it was all big bills. So I said, you know, I don't have anything to give you right now. Well, you know, I got over to the restaurant, and I was just real quiet. I was eating with someone else, and I got back to my room. I prayed about that. I said, now, Lord, I folded some money and put it in my coat. And I said, now, Lord, I feel that I'm in violation of the Word of God. Now, I know that some of you say, well, he probably goes and buys booze, liquor, and all this. Well, that might be so, but you know, God says he lets it rain on the just and on the unjust. So I literally prayed that I would meet this guy again. But with the thousands of people coming out of the big arena, I probably won't, but I prayed. Next night, didn't see him. Next night, he came up to me. I called him and said, I want to talk with you a minute. And I gave him some money, and I invited him to the service, and we had to have a pass or a ticket to get in, so I gave him a ticket to get in. Told him I wouldn't be there. You know, this gentleman really broke down, and I prayed with him momentarily. I thought he was going to receive the Holy Ghost there. But when I went on my way, I went on my way rejoicing. I got to tell you, I felt so good about this. And there was another minister that saw me do this, and he went up and just offered and gave him some money. And later on, I bumped into him. He said, you know, he said, I'm glad you did that, Brother Grant. He said, that really prompted me. He said, I felt good about doing this, you know. And here at Calvary Gospel Church, we like to take care of our own. You know, there's always a need. People give regularly to a benevolent fund. And so, you know, we write out a lot of checks for people. Now, occasionally somebody will come up and want a loan from the church. You know, we don't loan money. If we don't have it, that's it. And if we have it, then we give it. But we do have a lot of requests, so Brother Roy has everybody to fill out an application if they want money. But let me tell you, if you're always there waiting for the benevolent fund to pick up so that you can get more money out of it, you're missing the point. See, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What you need to do is put yourself on the giving end, you know. Because me being your spiritual advisor and your pastor, if I see that you're always getting, I'm going to call you aside and ask why you never give anything into the benevolent fund. Don't you think that's only right? Got to do that? I mean, I'm talking about as your pastor, you know. See. And so we give to meet a need. The other thing, one other reason why we give is to appropriate a blessing. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Now, if you notice what happened to the prodigal son in Luke 15, and the prodigal son, the Bible says that he went out and started feeding the swine. He was broke. And the Bible says, and no man gave to him. Why? Because he was a taker. He said, give me everything that belongs to me. I'm not going to share with anybody else. It's going to be mine. He spent all of his money on riotous living. And while we sometimes interpret riotous living as drinking and carousing around, no, riotous living is spending your money separate and apart from any directive from God. Do it the way I want it done. Spend it for what I want to spend it for. But God is saying, give, and I'm going to give back to you. But when I give back to you, it's going to be good measure. In other words, we're going to fill up the box. We're going to shake it down. We're going to then put our foot in it and press it on down. And we're going to fill it up again. We're going to shake it again. We're going to put our foot on it and press it on down. And we're going to keep going until it will not hold anymore. That's the way God gives back. Okay, we're talking about appropriating blessings. See? And then the third reason why you give because you love. In other words, you know, you may know of someone that's been close to you and helped you, and you can't think of a thing that they need. Give them a card to the person that has everything. But you give them a gift because you love them. That seems to be the best gift of all. Just give it because I love you. Deuteronomy 28. Brother Thomas made reference to this Sunday night, and he didn't know that I planned on talking from Deuteronomy 28 Sunday night. I preached a message several years ago, probably 15 years ago, and I titled the message, All for $50. I was talking about a person that made $500 a week, and they paid $50 in their tithing. Of course, people come and say, do I pay on my gross or I pay on my net? And, you know, and, well, that, I guess that's between you and God. But I think it's probably determined by whether you want gross blessings or net blessings. See? You want God, when he pays you back, to deduct everything that is deductible? Deuteronomy 28, listen to this. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Now, that's exercising stewardship in all areas of your life, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Wow. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Now, the word overtake means to apprehend. We're talking about appropriating blessings, but God's saying, you do this, I'll chase you down and overtake you. I'll pull you out of your fast-moving vehicle of life, and I'll take a handcuff, and I'll put a blessing on you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in thy city, blessed shalt thou be in thy field, blessed shalt thou be, shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Wow. All for $50? Probably have to raise it to 80 or something, maybe 90 now, but maybe 100. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. Thou shalt come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. In other words, scatter your enemies. The Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. The Lord shall command. I command this blessing be rest upon Jeff Vaughn. Command it. This is the Bible, you know. And you see, all of this was a type and a shadow of his blessings upon us today. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to disturb some of you, okay? But listen to me, okay? Now, you're going to go through some times like Job. But if for a long extended time you don't see the blessings of God resting upon you, you need to very carefully search out the scripture and prayerfully look at your life. It might be that you're just too lazy to make a living. You know, some people are. I hear people all the time say, I'm on a fixed income. Well, see, I don't ever expect to be on a fixed income, because I hope that I never have to totally depend on Social Security. You follow what I'm saying? See, whenever I say fixed income, basically what I'm doing, I'm gearing my faith to say this is all I have, that's all I'll ever have, this is the way it is. So, you know, we have even promoted this, and would you give a certain percentage of income that comes your way that you never thought was coming? You had no idea was coming. Every time we do that, people come and say, you know, I got $2,000 or $3,000. I didn't know I promised God I'd give so much to missions if on this unexpected money. In other words, be a channel in which God can use. Don't just be like a pond where all the water runs in and just sits there. Because, see, that's the purpose of the storehouse. Not the storehouse, but that's the purpose of stewardship. And that is that you're a channel by which God can reach the world. See? So he wants to take what he gives me, channel it through me to reach other people. You may say, well, what am I going to? Oh, there'll be enough for you to eat on. There'll be enough for you to live on. But now if you try to spend it all on yourself, then you're going to start violating the principles of the scripture. So the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, verse 9, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of thee. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give unto thee. Verse 12, now I want you to look at verse 12, okay. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. See, Paul says that God is able to meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. You know, you wouldn't go over the bank, would you, and say, I'm running a little short today. I just need to make a $20 loan. And look at the bank and say, that is, if you have it to spare. It almost be an insult, wouldn't it? He'd look at you and say, you expect me to give you my last $20? He'd say, look, $20, our assets are about $15 billion in this bank alone. So what the Bible is saying, that the Lord will open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and bless, and to bless in all the work of thine hand, thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. In other words, God wants you to be on the giving side, the lending side, not on the borrowing side. Now, we won't read all of this, but it says, and God is just going to open the windows of heaven. Speaking of opening the windows of heaven, you know, go to Malachi, the third chapter, and this is the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the third chapter. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from thine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? In other words, they had broken so many commandments that when God told them to go back, they just stood there and said, what are we doing wrong? We didn't know we were doing anything wrong. And then the Lord says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but I say unto you, wherein have you robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, there's one thing to live a life in which you're not really blessed of God. You know, ultimately, you'd really like to be blessed of God. But there's one thing maybe to live a life where you're not really blessed, but nothing really phenomenal ever happens to you. But, oh, it's something else when God curses you. The latter part of Deuteronomy 28, and I don't have enough time to read all, but you read it. And it says, now, this is what God's going to do if you don't keep his ordinances. He said, your family's not going to be blessed. Your household's not going to be blessed. Your work's not going to be blessed. He said, I will shut up the windows of heaven, for you're cursed with a curse. But notice this, verse 10, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you need a blessing like that? Man, I want a blessing where there's not enough room to receive it. My, how many of you need a blessing tonight? Raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to raise my hand. Yes. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So Malachi is actually taking this from Deuteronomy 28. That's what he's doing. I recently talked about Proverbs 3 when I spoke to you, I guess it was in June, a message entitled, Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, let's just quickly go through that. We're going to have to get this wrapped up here real soon. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I've had people say, I don't understand this. I just don't understand it. If I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. Have you ever said that? But you know, if you know it's in the Bible and it's a principle taught in the Scripture, it doesn't make any difference whether you understand it or not. You know, because can you fully understand God? No. Is that a legitimate reason not to have faith in God? No. Do you fully understand the tithing plan? No. Is that reason then not to cooperate with it? No. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. For it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. My. Oh, praise God. You know, Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, this is talking about the reconstruction of the walls and such after the Babylonian captivity. And the book of Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, the second verse, because thou met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, I know what the Bible says, howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. And did you know, if you feel like there's a curse resting upon you or your household, God can and will turn that curse into a blessing. That's it. Give the Lord a big hand, would you? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Turn a curse into a blessing. Don't live under the devil's thumb. Trust God. Manage your life. You know, if you're overspending, you know, if your credit cards are a problem, whatever it is. You know, we had Financial Peace University here, and Dave Ramsey says, you know, get rid of your credit cards. And if you can't pay your credit cards every month, and it just keep piling up, if you can't curb spending, take that credit card and cut it in two and put part of it in a trash can in the bedroom and the other out in the garage so that it won't miraculously heal itself. Seriously. Because, you know, it's not just throwing your life up to the wind and said, okay, I'm giving, I'm tithing, and I just go out and just spend. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. But a good steward is a person that he examines every part of his life, his prayer life, his relationship with God, his relationship with his brothers and sisters. He examines his attitude. He's submissive to God. He doesn't talk against his neighbors. He doesn't talk against the brothers and sisters in the church. He loves the body of Christ. He thinks his church is the best church on the planet Earth. That's why he can unashamedly invite people to come. Come to my church. You're going to like this. You follow what I'm saying? See, what's wrong with having a good attitude toward your church and toward the body of Christ? You know, he's going to present to himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle. If you want to get on the bad side of God, you just start making statements about your dislike relative to his bride. I wouldn't dare go up to you and say, you know, you're a nice guy, but that woman you're married to, dear me. would you go up to somebody and say, you know, I sure love Jesus. Boy, he sure does have a horrible wife. I'm talking about the church, you know. Do you believe what I'm telling you? You believe it's right? You know, what's wrong with believing the United Pentecostal Church is the best organization on the face of the earth? What's wrong with believing that Brother Putnam is the best district superintendent in the world? Thank you, Brother Putnam, for what you're doing. I love you and I appreciate you. Even the angels would not take railing accusations to the throne against people that they knew was doing wrong things. And Peter used that line of reasoning to tell you not to bring railing accusations against each other. So don't live under the devil's thumb. Trust God. Manage your life. Give yourself to the Lord. Consider his principles and live by them. Everything that you can, you need to speak well of it and speak positive of it. Get rid of all your negativity. Kick it out the window. Live under the sunshine. God's going to bless. Got something great in store for Calvary Gospel Church. Got something great in store for me. So I'd like for you to stand with me at this time, and we'd like for our praise singers to come. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, the principle, if you sow sparingly, you will also reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Everybody happy tonight?